Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
This episode of Sewing Out Loud is brought to you by the Made to Measure Leggings class from SewHere.com. This online class brings ZD right into your sewing room to show you how to measure, draft, and construct a pair of leggings based on your personal measurements. Go to SewHere.com/leggings to find out more and get access to all the videos and course materials immediately. That's SewHere.com/leggings.
Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory.
Sewing Out Loud. Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory Donahue.
And I'm ZD Donahue.
And today we're going to talk about what to do when your needle on your sewing machine keeps breaking.
And or even or initially breaks. Just then it breaks, then it breaks.
Just break.
Why does it break?
Breaking needles.
Needles shouldn't break.
You might have a lot of time to think about this right now as you're home sewing. This is also a good time to stock up on needles.
We actually had a podcast last podcast that we recorded was what would you stock up on? What is a good thing to stock up on and why?
Yeah, why like the perfect sewing thing to buy in bulk is needles.
That's our opinion. Absolutely.
Yeah, small amount of space. You have to have them to sew. They don't go bad, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Only go bad while you're using them.
That's right.
Right. They don't go bad in the drawer.
They don't go bad in storage. Exactly. All right. So what happens when needles go bad?
Right. When your needle goes bad.
Ooh, could you just broke a needle.
Could you make a cartoon?
Maybe. When needles go bad. And it wouldn't be like
I did just break a needle.
You just broke a needle.
And I know why I broke it.
Uh-huh.
Or why it broke.
My friend Quinn just messaged me about breaking a couple needles.
At least I believe I know why.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then I don't know whether to share this story right now. I think maybe I'll share it later, but I'm going to share a breaking needles story. So breaking needles happens. Like you're not a total failure if you break a needle.
Right.
There are lots of
– well
– let's talk about why it can
well,
happen.
Well, okay.
Maybe.
Let's talk about like the most inert way or whatever it could happen.
Like from best to worst.
Yeah. Yeah. So you break a needle and you're like, well, why did that break? I did, you know, or whatever. Or maybe it just bent really bad or something like that. Needles will lose their round or their straightness just by regular use.
Yeah. That's why they're replaceable.
Right. That's why they're, and you know, they are thin, right?
Yes, yes.
And they are made to be strong. That's one reason. That's another reason they have a groove in them and the way they're shaped and all this. I mean, they are made to be as durable as they possibly can. But as you sew, and you don't have to be doing anything incorrectly or out of the ordinary or anything, they will get out of whack, so to speak.
Right.
Okay? And we are not going to try and straighten them, okay?
Yeah. I don't know how
I know people have.
I don't know how hard times are right now,
but I don't think they're not that hard yet, okay? So a needle could just break from regular use.
Yes.
Now, we change our needles a lot. This does not happen to us a lot.
Right.
Okay. Usually we sort of have a reason, right? A more obvious reason or a more extreme reason, I guess. Is that a good word?
So if I am starting a project and we were doing some filming for a live broadcast and you weren't getting a great stitch.
Right.
And we changed the needle from a denim needle to a Microtex.
Right.
And we just put that denim needle in the sharps container. You know?
Yes.
And if I start to get low stitch quality, I'll change my needle. And if I can't remember last time I changed it, I'm just totally cool with doing this. I'm totally fine with just changing the needle. Or if I do sit down to sew and I think, you know, I don't know.
Don't remember the last time.
I'll just change it. So
yeah. Or you can't identify what kind of needle it is. I've done that too. I'm like, is this sharper, a ballpointer. What is this?
Right.
Now, sometimes I can tell it has a big blue band. And I'm like, and it's a big honking needle. And I go, that's a huge denim needle I had in there. Oh, I hemmed a pair of jeans.
That's that's a big Topstitch needle or something. Right. But you can, the reason why I think that we're kind of successful on this, you know, front is because we kind of err on the side of, how old the heck old is this needle?
Right.
We're going to change it.
Erring on the side that we want a good, straight, strong, properly functioning needle.
Right. Yes. So the best thing I think that can happen to you to when you break a needle is that maybe you were just sewing through something that was a bit too thick and it breaks off, and it's really easy to reconstruct the needle, right?
Yes.
Okay?
So oftentimes, it's kind of where I was going, too. The reason the needle breaks, okay, is it's no longer straight. And it's no longer straight, and it's hitting either the foot or part of the throat plate, right?
Uh-huh.
It's not going down into the slot or into the hole that it's supposed to be going into because it has been bent or it's being bent as you're sewing.
Right.
Right? So like Mallory said, if it's something thick or even something, what do I want to say, with a big resistance.
Yeah.
Right? It will bend that needle just enough that now it hits a hard surface.
Well, yeah. And it would be best if it broke right on your project.
And you could see it.
Instead of breaking in your machine.
Absolutely.
Like needle hitting a foot. Okay, if your machine needle is like hitting your foot over and over again, you got a big problem. We'll get to that later in the podcast. But if you were sewing a rug when you broke your needle recently.
Yes. And what I really believed happened to me was I knew I was going through something thick. I had a big denim needle in it, right? I mean, I was doing all of the right things, and I was trying to support the rug properly, and I believe what happened is I stopped supporting that rug, and it sort of, you know, didn't feed properly as the needle went through, and it broke right in the rug.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you could tell where it was.
Right. I knew right where it was.
So this can be caused by too big of a thickness or too much drag on your needle, but after you break a needle, you need to... your next step is try and find all the pieces of the needle.
Right. You're trying to reconstruct what you broke.
So if you have another needle that you can compare it to, lay it on the table, and then try to find all your pieces. I always love it when I break a needle and it's still threaded.
I know.
It's
hanging. It's like, yay, yeah.
You know, it's hanging on the thread that's connected. Right. And I can see, oh, yeah, you know. So can really tell what's going on there. And the reason you want to do this is because if you know that there's a good hunk of needle missing, you need to check for it, most importantly, probably, in your sewing machine.
Right.
Now, you don't want to be stepping on it or anything, but the odds of you finding it after it's flown all over your sewing room are pretty low. Luckily, they don't shatter, really.
No.
I mean...
And usually it's in two pieces.
Usually.
Because it's bent and it snaps.
Yes.
That's usually what happens.
It just snaps. Most of the time, it's not like there's 16 million little pieces out there or something. This is a reason, though, to wear protective eyewear. Mm-hmm. I have had a piece hit my cheek.
Another reason not to sew over pins?
Yeah, of course.
Because the pin can break and so can the needle. Or the pin will just bend your needle.
Yeah.
And then it breaks when you least expect it.
Yeah, great. Wonderful. Stop sewing over pins. Okay, so...
we just saw somebody do it on TV.
Oh, my God.
We got all upset. We get all upset. We yell at the TV.
We yell at the TV.
We make noises. It's really like...
Well, and she sewed over one pin and then didn't sew over the other
one. Yeah, that was kind of weird.
And I was like, okay, she changed maybe it was a mistake.
Right, that's what I thought, too.
All right, you know, but still annoyed me.
Right.
And then I'm like, she probably didn't do the video editing. Someone else did, and they should have edited that out.
Right.
But anyway, okay, so...
And maybe she was nervous because she was on TV,
yes,
and she did it by accident.
Look at us.
But we still yelled at the TV.
Merciful.
Yeah. We still yelled at the TV.
In the private, and we're not like calling anybody out. But anyway, that's a good reason not to sever pins. So you get to...
The reason we're not calling about, we can't remember who did
it.
But
I
anyway,
who it was.
I remember what kind of machine they were using. I don't remember who it was.
Yeah. So anyway, you're going to reconstruct those needle pieces. And then leave the needle out of your machine. Don't put another one in, and take take your bobbin out, unthread, and run your hand wheel. Turn your hand wheel and see if everything is moving in an unimpeded fashion.
Right.
You don't feel any resistance or anything. But the next thing I would do is I would...
Well, and I want to give them the reason for this. Yeah. And the reason we're doing this, the reason we're looking for all these pieces, the reason Mallory said run, you know, try and turn your hand wheel, make sure your machine, you know, easily functions without any resistance. If you have a piece of metal, a piece of that needle stuck anywhere in your bobbin case, and yes, all your machines have bobbin cases, okay? Mm-hmm. Don't tell me that it loads from the top and it's not a case. It has one.
I feel like our what do I want to say? Our tempers are thin. I'm not saying it right. Okay.
No, it's just that people will go, I don't have a bobbin case. Yes, you do. I know you do.
Let's say it nicely.
I know you do.
You do have a bobbin case.
Okay, let's say this. It could get stuck in the bobbin mechanism.
There you go.
Okay? Okay. Can't fight me on that one.
Okay.
And if it does and it scars it, you're in trouble.
Oh, yeah.
It's expensive. It won't sew right.
Well, and we've seen it happen to where, this is just classic. Piece of needle in there and our tech can find like a groove.
A perfect groove is where it's stuck.
Stuck. Now, if a piece of needle... You'll find, let's say you have the top-loading bobbin system, like the baby lock. Mm-hmm. There is, like, free space down there in the bottom where we'll find debris every once in a while that's there, and it's innocuous.
Right. It's not going to hurt if it's down in your machine.
If it's down in your machine and it just hangs out in the plastic tray,
But that's a reason for going through the hand wheel motion.
Yes,
because usually if it's in there, you can hear or feel a resistance.
Right.
Now, I have had people say, I can't find it. I just think it's in there. And I go, turn your machine upside down.
Yep.
Shake it. Do whatever you have to make yourself feel better. You know, if not, bring it into the shop. But generally, if you run your finger in there or a Q-tip or whatever, you're feeling for that, you know, little shard of needle. Just you want to make sure that that mechanism is clear.
You can use a magnet too. Hey, I have to go live tonight. I'm going live twice a week in the self-sewn wardrobe right now. It's back, and I'm in a show cleaning.
We are in March of 2020.
Think it is March anymore.
Oh, it might be April.
I think it's April.
Right. This is actually during the Corona crisis. So just so you have.
Yeah. So we're trying to provide a little extra entertainment, and I have been wanting.
That's why
to
we're
do,
extra snarky too.
Yeah, that's why I said our. It's not tempers running thin. What the hell am I trying to say here? I'm trying to. What is going on? Anyway, okay.
Hey, dude, it's scary.
We're a little. Everyone's running a little thin. Okay, so. I'm going to do a video on cleaning out that bobbin area. And remember my spiel I got to give about the needle position a couple of podcasts ago? I can't wait to give my spiel about putting the bobbin cases. I'm so excited. It's a great opportunity for spieling on the internet right now. So I'm going to do it. I'm really excited. Okay.
The other day I got to post your how to thread a sewing machine video.
Oh, really?
That it looks like you're like 10.
Oh, my God. I look like I am.
I know. No, she looks like she's like 12 years old.
I mean, how old am I?
No, I think you were probably 17 or 18.
God.
But you look like you were 10.
I look so
And
young.
I look like I was 17 or
I
18.
Look so young.
No, I look 17 or 18. You look like you're 10, yeah.
All right. So, yeah, you want to make sure this part of your any parts of your needle are out of there. You're welcome for the tangent. Yeah, shaking your machine, turning it upside down, especially with smaller machines. Like the Destiny here, she's like 40 pounds. She's a little hard to shake out. I've never shook Destiny.
I'm afraid she might shake me back. Yep. I have not shook her.
Now, Sophia.
Yeah.
Or like the little Molly or Mary or whatever the hell she's called now. Definitely can juggle that machine.
Right. You know? Don't turn anything upside down you think you might drop.
Unplug it first.
Remember the people that brought the machine in that they dropped in the parking lot?
Yes.
Okay.
No, okay. We'll tell that story another
That's
time.
That's a really good story, too,
Write
you
that
guys.
Down. Write that down. Write that person's name down.
Such a good story.
Okay. So then... Once that is out of there and everything's working nicely, the other reason you were saying the other one reason to do this is because you want to make sure there's nothing in there.
Right.
The other thing is if you hit something hard enough and your machine like kind of keeps going, you may notice resistance when you turn your hand wheel because there's a bigger problem now.
Well, and the thing, right. Because honestly, in some of these, especially the top loading bobbins, you could actually embed it
in your
bobbin case that you're not sure you have.
So,
but
you are. ZD is.
Well, I want people to know this. I don't want them to not know it.
After I get to give my spiel in the self-sewn wardrobe.
Okay.
But I wanted to say that when you're taking your machine apart, look at your bobbin case.
Our next podcast is going to be so good.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Make sure you didn't punch a hole in
your
bobbin case.
There can be a hole. Yeah. Actually, a hole is okay.
A hole's okay.
Because you can, like, take emery paper and make
it
smooth.
Yeah, you could file it down.
But if it has a burr on the hole, you're in trouble.
You need to. Actually, that can really help because we were, like, out of bobbin cases one time. Someone came in, and this bobbin case had, like, 15 holes in it.
Yeah.
It's not
15. We actually didn't know how
probably,
the person had been sewing
for.
You
could probably only put three holes in this bobbin case, but I was like, what the hell? And I can't remember. Our tech was sick, and the bobbin cases were on back order, and I was going to, like, give her one out of a floor model if I had to, but I filed it down to make it smooth, and it worked.
Right.
So that was cool. Okay, let's get back to needles.
They're not cheap. So don't sew over pins.
Don't sew over pins.
Okay.
Okay. So we are turning our hand wheel.
Public service announcement.
Everything's moving freely and nicely. Yay. Now you get to put a new needle in.
That's right.
You're going to put it in flat to the back in 95% of cases. Mm-hmm. If you have one of those machines where it's to the side, that's a different story, but you know about that. So flat.
It has
to
do with the orientation of your bobbin.
Yeah, we just did a really good episode on that.
Yeah.
Flat to the back, gonna make sure it's a new needle. Don't put something in that you're unsure about. And I would rethread your machine, and I would just try and sew now on, like, two
something
layers of
easy.
Woven.
Yeah, something, some easy woven cotton, whatever.
Right.
Yeah, two layers. Make sure, you know, it's doing a nice thing. Also, rethread.
Yeah, I said.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah,
oh, did
yeah,
you? Because but, yeah, because the thread will jump a lot of times when you break a needle.
Right. And so you've rethreaded.
Right.
You're doing that. And then when... The other thing you want to reevaluate, let's take a quick break and let's talk about other things to reevaluate before you begin sewing on your project again, because you were probably in the middle of something that you're not finished with, right? Okay, so we'll take a quick break. Hey, ZD, wouldn't it be cool if everyone who listened to this podcast could learn how to make perfectly fitting leggings directly from you, the leggings expert?
Well, yes, Mal. That's why we produce the Made to Measure Leggings class. I teach anyone, no matter their age, ability, or gender, to make perfectly fitting leggings based on their measurements. And if someone is feeling particularly generous, they can make leggings for anyone who they can get to stand still long enough to measure.
You, yes, you, can get immediate access to all the videos and course materials in the Made to Measure Leggings class by going to sewhere.com/leggings. This online class allows you to complete the process at your own pace, and you own it forever, so you can rewatch it as many times as you need.
Stop struggling with the leggings that roll down or sag in the wrong places. I'll be your guide as you create leggings that are made especially for you.
No matter what your equipment or skill level, ZD covers everything from measuring, drafting, cutting, and construction on a sewing machine or serger in this class. Go to sewhere.com/leggings and get started today.
Sewing out loud.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
Welcome back to
When Needles Go Bad.
Mom thinks that's really funny.
I think that's
cute. I hope
cute.
You're all laughing. All right. Now you need to reassess. You said rethread. This is one thing you need to assess. If you were just sewing through two layers of cotton and your needle broke.
And it broke them for that reason.
Okay. There could be something in your thread path.
So.
It's pulling on your needle.
So, right. And this. Understand, your needle got pulled or bent out of alignment, mm-hmm. and that's why you broke.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So if you think that, you know, sometimes all you do is you change your needle and you just go on your merry way and it's working again.
Right.
So one thing that I see people do is the thread is not coming off of the spool.
Correct.
Smoothly. Right. Yeah. You know, it's getting hung up on, you know, say a gouge that's maybe in the spool,
yeah.
or it's they've skipped something in the thread path.
Not using the right thread cap.
Crappy thread will do that to you too.
Also, there is a thread guide. I have done a live about this, but you know,
right before the needle. That
yes,
one?
The thread guide, but right?
But people don't think
needle.
It's important.
Or they don't right. realize the spring has been, there's a spring on
yes,
some of them now,
it
which
gets
is
sprung.
It's helpful. Right. Oh, that's a good live. Write that down for
the
me.
The spring got sprung?
The spring got sprung. And that can be a problem. So make sure you're getting in that thread guide there. So make sure everything's feeding properly. And then you're supporting your big rug or your whatever, right? Your heavy
yes.
thing. Okay, but then let's look at your project. If you're breaking a needle, and let's say you put your project under there again, and you break it again, is the way you're going about it not right? Is your technique incompatible with your project?
Or is your project incompatible with your sewing machine?
Yeah.
Not everything can be sewn
That's
on
right.
this sewing machine.
It's very true.
Okay?
Even us... I mean, we make a lot of heavy,
Listen,
fixed
I have
stuff
sewn,
work.
I have sewn repaired luggage.
Yeah.
Literally, I mean real tapestry-type
luggage.
I have repaired on my sewing machine. I would not suggest everybody do it.
Yeah, or, I mean, I've sewn through hot glue.
Yes.
Not while it was hot. Okay, everybody. But what I did was, like, I hot glued feathers together, and then I had to sew through the hot glue.
Right.
And the baby lock went through it. Okay. But if your machine doesn't have that strong of a motor, mm-hmm. it might not be an option. So you need to look at hand sewing.
I sew through sequins all the time.
Yeah.
You know.
Need to look at hand sewing. You need to look at glue.
Right.
You might need to look through other things. Also, okay, this is true. We've been kind of talking about sewing machines. Mm-hmm. But on sergers. Okay. I had a customer one time who wanted to sew through a felted, she wanted to make a bag out of felted sweaters.
Mm-hmm.
The thickness of this felted sweater that she had done,
mm-hmm.
it was a full like 3/8 of an inch.
Right.
And then she wanted to do another one.
Right. It doesn't even fit under
so
the foot properly.
Well,
right.
what was a nice
right.
illustration on the serger was that the blade didn't go up that
far. The blade won't slice the whole thing.
That's right.
That's right.
Now, so I just said to her, I was like, this is too much.
Right.
For, and I'm talking about our beloved baby lock sergers.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So the thing that we love and that we say is so versatile and so useful, it just wasn't going to, they were so thick. It was just, it was too much.
And then you decide that that's hand sewing, or you're going to take it to your shoe shop and have that guy sew it, or whatever.
I think we ended up over on the sewing machine.
And it worked.
Because the sewing
yeah.
machine will often have a higher foot clearance.
Absolutely.
There.
So and when you say that, every sewing machine are, you know,
different sewing
machines. Right. That clearance is specific to sewing machines.
Right.
Yes.
So I think she broke needles, and that was due to just like, things weren't moving,
right.
you know, or maybe you had a buildup of thread. And this
right.
is where this can be such a nice fix if it works. Lengthening your stitch
Absolutely.
On a thick project
right.
can oftentimes make a world of difference.
Absolutely.
So you don't get the thread buildup. The machine, even if let's pretend your stitch, your straight stitch, it was set on 2.5 millimeters, which is the default in many cases. And then it's a real thick project, and you're not even getting that 2.5 because your feed dogs can't move ideally.
Right. They cannot
so
move
So you
that.
Go up to 4, or you go right. up to 3.5. You go up, and you may still not get that 4, but you're still giving your project more
right.
space.
You're giving it more time to do its thing.
That's right. So it's trying to get – so it's moving that along more, and you're just – you are exploiting the power of your sewing machine really there by lengthening your stitch, and it can make a world of difference. Also, pay attention. If you come up against a bulky seam – if you come up against something and your machine starts to sew in place, you need to stop.
Right.
You need to readjust. Maybe it wasn't bulky seam. Maybe it was your thread getting caught on the foot or something like that. And that can cause your needle to break. So paying attention is important. Right. What'd you just write down?
Well, I just wrote rubber down. So
a rubber. I just wrote rubber down.
If you go to sew through elastic,
yes,
there is a possibility that your needle will pierce it. Okay. But it may also be bending your needle.
Yeah.
And especially if I don't have a lot of problems with this. I have high powered sewing machines.
Right.
And I have experience. Mm-hmm. Okay. Especially if someone's trying to, say, sandwich a piece of elastic or a piece of cording or, you know, a, like a tie or something through several layers.
Yeah.
You need to hand walk through it and see what's going to happen.
Yeah, and lengthen your stitch.
And lengthen your stitch.
Hand walking your machine through a couple of bumps isn't bad.
It's not against the rules.
No.
It's not bad technique. It doesn't mean you're not a good sewer. It actually means you're very competent.
Yes.
To get to this intersection or this speed bump or whatever you want to call it and go, I'm smart enough to walk through this by using my hand wheel.
And there are some other, let's just, you know,
right.
Go on that kind of coming to a hump or coming to.
I like the speed bump.
The speed bump.
Intersection or speed bump.
Speed
We're
bump.
Driving along. Yeah.
You can use something called a hump jumper or a, it used to come.
I used to call it, what was it?
It's like called a leveler.
It had a name about being a jeans something too.
Oh.
Like a denim something we called it. I can't remember.
It was like a jeans tool.
Yeah.
Or
they
like
called
that.
It like the denim leveler or something. I don't know.
Yeah, a brand that we used to sell. They had this tool, and it was three plastic pieces, plastic rectangles, like picture long, three plastic long rectangles, and it had a little, like, rivet. So you could use one, you could use two
layers
or
three layers.
The baby lock has a foot with a button on it where it will level it off.
It's a leveling foot.
Because if you do come up to something and your foot, the toe of your foot flips up at such an angle that your needle will hit
it. So what that does is it brings up the back of your foot to be even with whatever the front is having to come over.
So let's be clear. You're putting this hard plastic thing behind your needle.
Yes.
In a place you've already sewn.
Right.
You're not going to sew over the plastic thing.
Right. Right. So all it does is lift the back of your foot.
Yes.
The part that's behind the needle.
Right.
And in doing that, it takes the tilt out of the foot because most feet have a, they're not rigid.
Yeah, they have a joint.
They have a joint.
Flex action.
Yes, it's like your ankle.
Yep.
You know, because it is an ankle on your foot.
So we said lengthen your stitch, hand walk through things, maybe use a hump jumper when you're going through intersections and things like that. The other thing is maybe you need a needle. You're talking about going through rubber. If you're going through rubber or even sometimes vinyl and certain
there's a lot of fabrics too now that might have a certain treatment on the top, whether it be decorative or a functional treatment that will slow that needle down and give, you know, it gives a resistance, say, to it.
There are needles that are lubricated.
Right.
One of which is a denim needle.
Right.
Okay. But you'll also find, especially now that the sewing companies have like really caught on to this whole cosplay thing.
Yes.
They have like costume needles that have the coating on them.
Right.
So when we say lubricated, they have like a titanium coating on
them. Right. Or like a Teflon or something that's super slick.
Yes. That will help it to just get through there and not be dragged on. Because when you get drag, if it's dragging through the elastic as the needle comes
up. Isn't a chromium needle slick too or
something?
Yeah,
I mean,
I think so.
So if your needle's coming upwards and then it's dragging through the elastic and the elastic's moving back away from you because the feed dogs are trying to move it, you're going to get this drag and this breaking.
So what happens just basically, I mean, Mallory's been detailing it, the drag and all this. So what happens is, basically, it gets your machine, like, out of timing because it's not allowed. Each piece is not allowed to move freely like it needs to.
Yeah. And then, you know, my favorite breaking a needle is, like, when you're sewing around, like, a, I don't know, something that obviously the needle won't go through, like a button.
Yeah. Button sew-on thing is absolutely the other thing that you need to hand walk through to make sure it's right.
But I've done stupid stuff where, like, I knew that I shouldn't sew through this thing, but I got too close or something like that.
And those are just things that happen,
too. Yes, it can happen even to the best of us. I just sewed I was sewing kitty ears onto a headband.
Uh-huh.
And it's like a plastic headband, right. And I wrapped the Annie Softon Stable around it and sewed next to it.
Uh-huh.
And I used the zipper foot, but I was like, hey, don't try and get too close here, Melanie, because you're going to sew over the headband because your needle is unprotected on one side. So I was trying to get so close, but I was like, wait a minute, don't break a needle. So.
I think another thing that, I mean, even though you touched on it a little bit, but we should make sure is you need to make sure the needle's in properly.
Yes.
It's in the right position. The back is where the back is supposed to be. The front is where the front is supposed to be. And the hub is all the way up to the stop.
All the way up.
There is a stop there. And I don't know if there's a machine you can't see it in. Is there? I think you can always see the top of the needle.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Maybe there is.
There may be, but I can't think of one. You know, the needle needs to go up absolutely as far as it can.
That's right. So getting it up there and then tightening with your fingers.
Well, that's another breaker.
That's right. If you haven't tightened, oh my God, this causes the most scarifying things.
Scarifying.
Yes. This would happen in guide
class. New sewing word, scarifying.
Where we change the needle for embroidery and then people tighten the needle screw with their finger.
Right.
And then we always say, then take a screwdriver or a tool and tighten it just an eighth of a turn.
I always
more.
Say an eighth to a quarter of a turn.
Yeah, you don't have
to. Don't overdo it. And don't let some big, like, muscular person come in and go, I'll do that for you.
Yeah.
Because that's not good either.
Mom, that was so good of you not to gender the strong person. I got a little upset with Mom earlier today because she was like, Cherry and Josh could kill a deer for
us. The only it had nothing to do with gender. It had to do with who I thought had shot a gun before.
Well, I've shot a gun before, and I'm just
Well,
saying,
I have too, but I've never shot. I've never shot an animal.
Family.
I have never shot an animal.
No, I've never hunted before, but I
right. Man, we have done target shooting. Times, that's totally different.
Times are a changing.
Target shooting is different.
Times are a changing.
Target shooting is different.
I just want everyone to know. In my family, that I would protect them. Okay, I would go out. Actually, I'm like, what can I raise for meat around here?
We were actually talking about shooting deer because we often have like 15 on our driveway.
I know that this might be out of some people's comfort zone right now, but anyway, okay, let's move on. Thanks, Mom. Women can over-tighten needle things, too. That would happen so much
at the
shop.
It's those big old muscular people that think they're helping because strong is better.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, but that would happen at the shop a lot. I'm like, no, I can over-tighten something, too. I just choose not to because I'm smarter. Okay, so don't over-tighten, but do tighten a little bit because people would start the embroidery machine and then, oh, God, the most terrible sound because the needle would just fall out.
Right.
And the foot would keep going up and down, still be moving.
No, the thing is the needle would stay threaded. So it'd be flopping around on there. And the needle bar's
moving up and down. And you're like, oh, my God. Okay. So, yeah.
That's the other thing.
High drama.
You should always know what button turns your machine off.
That's right. Always know where
Always.
I actually, when I was... people probably terrified when I was teaching them to sew. I'm looking back at it, but
I'm sure they were. I noticed it. Yeah.
In embroidery guide, I would be like, okay, everybody, where's your start stop button? And then I would be like, put your finger on it, take it away. Put your finger on it, take it away. Because when something bad would happen during embroidery, I feel like people would either hands off, back away from the machine.
Or put their hand under.
The thing about it is,
if you were teaching, you might have 10, 12 people in class. So you're across the room, and you know the sound of what it's like, and you're like leaping across furniture, and nobody's hitting the stop button, you know? So it was very important.
It sounds so much more... I'm having flashbacks. I can smell the store right now. I can feel the carpet beneath my feet.
It sounds much more heroic too than it was, doesn't it?
I can feel the table as I put my hand on it and speed around the corner. You know, I like to go turn off somebody's machine.
Well, what would be funny? I thought, okay, what would be funny in the shop? And this would be like broken needle time or broken thread or threaded wrong or whatever. Like, across the shop, you would hear someone that worked there would hear something like, 40 feet away, and they'd go, not in the uptake lever. They weren't even there. We got to where we could hear the problem.
Yes. Well, we could. Anyway.
I'm talking about people that work there.
When your needle falls out, it has a high chance of breaking.
And it's scary.
It's really scary. Yeah. Now, sometimes your needle can get, like, pulled out more some of those high-resistant things that we've been talking about. The other thing, I feel like we've covered a little bit of this before, but maybe we need a podcast on reducing bulk. I don't know if we've done one.
Well, I talk about reducing bulk so much.
We talk about it all the time.
Yeah,
maybe we could come up with some specific examples, because I'm thinking about, you know, layers of stuff, like linings and whatnot. And, like, what should this person do with these hand-felted sweaters, if they want to make something out of them, et cetera, et cetera. So maybe that's something we can do. All right. So if your needle, though, continues to break – I do have to say, this is where I'll share my story, though.
Okay, but there is a point that you might need a technician.
Yes, there is a point. But wait, there's one more thing you can
do. Okay. All right, one more thing.
One more thing.
I don't know what this is. I'm going to be surprised,
First of all, turn your machine off and back on again, because it can sometimes...
It can reset the needle Actually, it can even work on a non-computerized machine, but not that often. It'll usually be on your computerized machine.
Yeah, so that can help. Okay. I did a live broadcast once in the self-sewn wardrobe.
Oh, and I remember this now.
I cannot remember what technique I was demonstrating, but it was not that hard. It was on a serger. Now, I would have to sew in some awkward positions
because
when I did these.
The camera was on her.
And I'm by myself a lot, because I don't make mom film me. And this is when I was going live like 3 times a week and everything. So I go to sew this whatever on the serger, and I break a needle, and I was like, oh, everything's fine. And I'm using my best, like, TV, you know, attitude to handle this. And I had the tools, and I had a spare needle. And I was like, now I'm changing my needle. And I'm talking. And I go back to sew again, and I broke it again. And I was like, okay, 2 broken needles. It's time to end the live broadcast. Mm-hmm. And so I did. And I was like, guys, I don't know what's going on, but I think I need to, like, calm down and try to deal with this off camera. And I remember Stephanie Bateman being like, yeah, slow your roll, Mal. And I was like, yeah, slow your roll, Mal. Like, that's exactly what I need to do right now. I need to calm down. And so I did. I, like, left. I did something else. And I came back. I completely unthreaded the machine. I changed both needles. I rethreaded it. And everything was fine. I am not exactly sure what was going on.
But you could have easily had a thread that was getting hung up, especially on a serger.
And if I was in such a state, even if you're not on camera, let's pretend you're in a hurry or something for whatever reason.
Well,
you're just not noticing
as
everything.
As soon as it doesn't go right, even if I'm calm, I'm still moved to another state.
Uh-huh.
You know, even I had something like that happen not too long ago. You weren't up here, and I was up here late at night, and I was like, I don't know why this isn't going as smooth as usual.
Yeah.
I'm just going to take it as it comes and know that I can stop anytime I want, because I didn't happen to have pressure on me about it.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
you know, I wasn't trying to get it done for tomorrow or whatever.
One time our software teacher, Joanne, she brought in her whole machine. She brought in her embroidery unit one time. She's like, I was trying to do this thing and I just think this thing needs service. But I have a project to do. And I took her machine into the classroom and I threaded it. I did exactly what she was doing, I remember. And I had no problem. And she's like, what was going on? I was like, honestly, Joanne, sometimes when you're in a hurry, you can't see everything. And I'm not saying that like I'm some person who doesn't ever get in a hurry.
And Joanne was a great sewer and a great problem solver.
Like a really cool, calm head, you know? So it's like not...
We used to say in those instances, the machine needed a ride.
Yes, the machine needed a little car ride. So it can happen. But
everybody needs aired out once in a while.
I think that Quinn, I think that's kind of what she did. You know, she broke a couple of needles.
Yeah.
She just shared her gunny sack dress. I think this is the project she was working on. And she's like, oh, I keep breaking needles. And I was sewing in this position. It broke and da-da-da-da-da. Right. And I was like, honestly, if you completely, you know, clean it out and rethread it and it's still breaking, you got to take it somewhere, you know. So that is what. Now, I think the problem resolved itself. So I don't know if she just needed a little break or something, or the machine did. But that is... that's what happened. Okay.
So last but not least.
You
want to use a quality needle.
Oh, of course.
Okay.
Of course.
We like Schmetz a lot.
Schmetz.
Class A is a needle.
Yes.
There's another needle we like. What is it?
I don't know. Don't stop talking so quiet. Sam's.
I will talk loud. We like Schmatz needles. Class A is another. But it needs to be, you know, usually for some reason, if it's a German needle, it's a good one. Okay? I don't know why. But if you're using an inexpensive needle, you're not saving money. You're probably just buying trouble.
Ooh, I like that.
Oh, yeah.
You're not saving.
I think my mother said that once.
It sounds very vintage.
Sounds like my mother.
You're not saving money. You're buying trouble. Oh, I'll put that in my back pocket. Okay. So
we'll put that up on the header on our
site. You're not saving money. You're buying trouble. That's good.
So especially if you'd keep, if a needle should last well through a project. If it's like a normal, simple type project, right, where you're not going through all of these bizarre things we talked about, okay, it should last and be pretty sharp till the end of a reasonable, project.
If there's a project and you keep breaking needles, either your technique is not good, and you're not removing obstacles that you should be removing, you can listen to our episode on sewing over beaded fabric.
A lot of people use things too that will gunk their needle up,
and they don't clean it.
School glue or all these glues. I see people using glue stick all the time. That can really gunk things up and put a drag on
things. Especially if it's not dry.
Yeah. You need to think about all those things.
And you can clean your needle off with alcohol pads.
You can.
If you continue to break needles through a project, it's a bad sign. Either technique is off, project is not meant for the sewing machine, or it needs to go into the shop because it's breaking needles.
Or it's a bad needle or the wrong needle.
Yes, yes.
Everybody knows there's lots of needles out there. Lots of different types.
People used to come in and be like, I just broke 17 needles. And I was like,
make a pair of jeans with a size 60 universal needle.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
It's not going to work. I'm not going to get more than 3 stitches and my needle will break.
Very true. I mean, you might get just a little farther than that, but, you will have troubles. So keep that in mind as you move forward. Quality needles. Get that bulk set of needles.
Don't buy trouble.
Yeah. Don't buy troubles. Don't. Buy good stuff. So if it's
Mallory, you're losing it or something. I don't know what's going on here.
Now listen, if you're not saving money, you're buying trouble.
That's
then it should be like spend money, buy
quality,
not
trouble.
Try to find
buy peace of mind.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, if we could buy peace of mind. That's the thing we want to buy.
Yes. And then I do want to take a moment just to say that thank you to our members. Right now, during April of 2020, a lot of people's priorities are needing to shift.
Yes.
Including our own. And our biggest way that we sustain this business is through memberships. We do get sponsorships. We do sell some things. But, a lot of you love the podcast enough that you're willing to support us with a membership, and we appreciate that. And those of you whose priorities do have to change during this time, please keep listening.
Please keep listening.
We are your sewing friends.
Hopefully we can be here when you want to join back up again.
That's right. Keep sharing our stuff on social media, or if you know somebody who's sewing and needs something to listen to, say, hey, I know this podcast. And if you are someone who is experiencing a more stable time, we appreciate you keeping your membership up. And then also maybe contact your local sewing store and see if they're doing any kind of shipping or curbside delivery or curbside pickup or anything like that.
So here's a thought.
So here is
a thought. Mallory and I, most of you know, practically live together. Okay,
yes.
We live on the same property. It's two houses, and they are conjoined by our studio.
Yes.
Okay, so we really don't even have to go outside to go to each other's house. We go up the stairs and through a door, and we're in our studio, each of us on each side.
Right.
So during this time of being locked down or whatever your I don't think there's a universal word yet. Everybody's kind of using, social distancing, whatever, sheltered in, whatever. Think about this. Mallory and I are only seeing basically each other.
I'm so glad.
So how do you think these podcasts may evolve and what they might sound like in a couple of weeks? It's going to be for your entertainment.
And we're trying to keep things light and fun. And I just got an email from a listener who said, thank you for having made what you've made, because I just went back and listened to old episodes and got to a little. I like the phrase slice of normal. It's like you're consuming a little slice of normal, and it feels real good.
And if anybody wants to know what the funniest episodes are or the most informational, I would message Fred Berry.
That's right.
she knows these suckers.
She's the keeper. That,
she's the keeper of the podcast. She knows the funniest ones, the worst ones.
Fred's mind is a steel trap.
The ones she's mentioned the most in, all that.
Exactly.
Just contact Fred.
Okay. Well, we will talk to y'all later. And you can get to us in the Self Sewn Wardrobe Facebook group. You can see us on Instagram. We are at SewHereCom. And we appreciate you all listening. ZD, take it away.
So long and so happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit SewHere.com.
Hey, y'all. Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit DiscoverSouthCarolina.com.